during a war with the Philistine enemies, he saw Goliath of Gath, a giant of a man, coming out and challenging anyone from Israel to come out and fight him. And all the soldiers, David's brothers, all of the men of Israel were afraid. And they were afraid to stand up to this giant. So David sent word to the king and said that he was not afraid and that he would go out. And he knew that because as a shepherd he had been able to fight and kill both lions and bears in order to protect his father's sheep, that he was sure the Lord would give him victory over Goliath. This story is about the Lord and how he gives us victory in trial, how he gives us victory against the forces of hell who try to lead us astray or to overwhelm us with various sensual and worldly things. And I think looking at David's using the example of the Lord giving him victory before, and so therefore he is not afraid to go forth into battle, this is a message to us to remember that when we are in times of trouble, we can look back to times in the past when the Lord has helped us through difficult times. And so it's important to be able to look back and see and give gratitude when you come through states of trial to see that the Lord is there with you and that he will always be there with you. David was also the writer of the Psalms. And in the 23rd Psalm, which is perhaps the best known and loved passage in the whole of the Bible, except possibly the Lord's Prayer, David humbly acknowledges that though he might have been a successful shepherd and a protector of the sheep, truly the Lord is the one who leads, protects, and feeds him. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And so, when Jesus is in the world, it's significant that he describes himself as the good shepherd. And he says of himself, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Throughout the Gospels, but especially in the Gospel of John, we see the Lord trying to suggest or perhaps claiming to his disciples and followers that he is the promised one, that he is in fact God and one with the Father. And this is one of those places where we see the Lord saying, I am the good shepherd. And it connects back to the good shepherd that King David was talking about, the shepherd who leads and protects even in Old Testament times. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So let's read in our pew card, John 10, 11, 16, where the Lord talks about this. And this chapter is quite long, has very many important teachings, but we can only read a short piece. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And there's a lot of stuff here. But I want to focus today mainly on two points. The Lord says, I know my sheep and am known by my own. And when we think about that, the Lord is not somebody far off or somebody who kind of knows the human race in a vague and general way or provides for the universe, but he is a God who knows me, knows you, knows each one of us better than we know ourselves. And to the extent that we learn about him and know him, then there's this connection, and it's a connection of love. The passage talks about the hireling, how the hireling flees because he doesn't care about the sheep. And there's a message in here because we are both shepherds of ourselves. We learn and follow the Lord's teachings when we know him. But we are also sometimes hirelings. In other words, we do the right thing, but we're interested in how we look, or if there's a reward, or I want to get to heaven, or I want people to like me. And so the Lord's saying, if we're hirelings, if our motive is self, rather than the desire to follow the goodness we see in the Lord, then we're going to fail in times of struggle. And the other thing that I'll be talking about in a few minutes is, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. But let's read in Divine Providence number 230. It introduces another thought about the Lord as the Good Shepherd. The word name symbolically means the nature of a state of love and wisdom or of goodness and truth, as is also shown by these words of the Lord. He who enters by the door is the sheep of the is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. To call the sheep by name is to teach and lead everyone impelled by the good of charity, in accordance with the state of his love and wisdom. By door here is meant the Lord, as is apparent from verse 9 there, which we didn't read. So this is telling us that he calls his own sheep by name. And when it says that, it's saying that name, it's not just that he says, hey, Vincent, it's that he says, I see you. I know where you are right now in relationship to loving me. I know what you see and understand and believe about me. And I'm going to come to you exactly where you are. And I'm going to lead you to a better place. That's all that's involved in this amazing statement. He calls his own sheep by name because he knows our state of love and wisdom. And, you know, that's changing all the time. So sometimes we are being infested by evil spirits and they're causing us to be filled with anger or jealousy or greediness or gossip or whatever it is that we're struggling with. And the Lord knows that. And so then what he does is he sends angels to us, and those angels can help guide us out of that particular state. And he uses all kinds of tricks. Like, you know, maybe you've struggled with theft and now you're in a store and you notice that the proprietor just had to go into the back room. And you think to yourself, I can pick up some money out of the cash or maybe a bunch of groceries and stuff them in my coat and he won't know and I'll get away with it. And then we think things like, but maybe he'll come out and catch me, or maybe somebody else will notice and report me. And so the Lord uses our state at the moment, which is, I want to do this, but I'm afraid of the penalty. And he uses that to help us so that we don't get sucked in by the hells. And you might notice all kinds of times in your life where the Lord uses not so good motives to help you do the right thing. But to the extent that the Lord sees that you can think in that moment, and it's against the commandments to steal, then he strengthens that thought in you so that you can say, okay, yes, I might get caught, but it would be worse because the Lord knows, and it would be a blemish on my spirit. So this little statement about the Lord knows my name and he leads me out, it's talking about the Lord knows where I am right now, wherever I am, and he leads me out. Every person is being led moment by moment by the Lord in their own unique way. Imagine if every individual in the church was conscious of that and was looking to the Lord and asking and trying to follow, be led by the Lord's teaching and leading. Most of us would be blessed if that was the case. But there's more. What if we all trusted completely that the Lord's individual care and leading worked for the person that we have difficulty with, maybe on the board, or maybe in volunteering, or maybe the way they do their jobs, or maybe just, you know, the kinds of things they talk about? What if we could just say, this is the Lord, and I can turn the Lord's work, I can turn that over to him? Wouldn't that make a difference in our lives? Wouldn't that strengthen our community, help the church to be a more loving place? Because we would see that just as the Lord is with me right here where I am right now, so he's with every other person where they are right now, leading them insofar as they're willing to be led. So we come to that other part, which is other sheep. I have other sheep who hear my voice, and they will be gathered. And this is a fundamental concept that we have in the new church, a fundamental concept that people of all faiths, people of whatever spiritual path, whatever religion they have been or are currently in, the Lord is doing the same thing for them. And to the extent that they know something about God, something about God's order and God's love, God's presence, and they try and live in harmony with that, the Lord is able to bless them and lead them to deeper and deeper understanding wisdom, and truth. So there's lots of things we can do to strengthen ourselves as sheep. Thinking about how we have been shepherded in the past, as I mentioned before, in times of trial, when we can look back and say, this too shall pass. I struggled with something in the past, and the Lord got me through that, and I was okay. And now I'm in a new struggle, but the Lord is there, and He's leading me and protecting me. That gives us great comfort. When we really needed Him, He cared for us. He protected us. He strengthened us in times of adversity or discouragement, doubt, despair, temptation, fear, in all these different states. We can look back and see where the Lord has helped us before, and it helps remind us to turn things over to the Lord. My wife in the past has kept this thing she calls the God basket in her room. And if she's struggling with something and doesn't seem to get through with it, writes down on a piece of paper, stuffs it in the God basket, turns it over. And it's amazing when she goes back, sometimes 6 months, sometimes a year, sorts through the God basket how many things have been taken care of. And we can do things. Those are tools we can do. So the Lord calls Himself the Lamb that was slain. But He also says He's the door to the sheepfold as well as the shepherd. So there's lots of imagery here. And when it talks about the hireling, as I said before, it's not talking about on one level, it's talking about priests who do their job well and priests who do their job from selfish motives. So in some ways, He was referencing the scribes and Pharisees of His day. But the Lord is also talking about the intellectual part of us, which acts as a shepherd to our mind and helps us to see the way. And when our intellectual part is slave to our appetites, then it's like a hireling. So the Lord is innocence itself. That's why He calls Himself a sheep. He is wisdom itself, which is why He calls Himself the door. And He's that presence of love and wisdom in each of our lives. So He calls Himself the Good Shepherd. And He calls us by name, and He leads us out. So it's all about becoming good sheep and not becoming hirelings. Now, to the extent that we do things for reward, we get the reward of the reward. We also get an opportunity to see that rewards are often not very satisfying long term, but there was pleasure in doing the right thing. And so the Lord's leading us even through that process. You know, we start out doing things for reward and praise and fear, but little by little, the Lord helps us to see that the real joy in life is doing the right thing for the right reasons. So there are tools we can learn and skills we can practice and work on and develop every day. Practice a spiritual life. That's a really broad category. When I think about that for myself, I think about an awareness that my thoughts and feelings come from the spiritual world, either from hell or from heaven. And so I'm conscious of the fact that I'm a spiritual being living a material life. And the more I can be aware of the spiritual side of myself, the better I can live that material life. So there are habits we can develop, habits like attending worship services, or being of service in our community, or studying the Word, reading the Bible, even if we don't understand it, in a little bit on a daily basis, and growth will happen. Practicing meditation, and, And I don't mean this or something like that, so much as setting time aside to think about what the Lord wants for you in your life and how he might be teaching you in those things you read earlier from the Word. Praying. And remembering that praying is a two-way street. It's not just talking to God, it's waiting for God to inspire new thoughts in your mind. Knowing the commandments and following them, and realizing that each commandment has different levels of meaning. So, you know, killing is one thing, but hating is a part of killing, and being angry is a part of killing, and being full of resentments is a part of killing. And that's true of all the commandments. We think about them, there's that external form that is obvious in the list of 10, but then there are deeper meanings which you can see. And monitoring our tongue so that when we say things, instead of immediately justifying what we've said, being able to stop and say, that's not the kind of person I want to be. Monitoring our actions, being willing to admit when we're wrong. These are all things that we do in living and practicing the life of a good sheep. It involves convicting ourselves. You know, if you can't admit you're wrong, or if you can't admit you don't know, or if you can't admit that you made a mistake, then you're going to be stuck in a cycle of ignorance and hurtful behavior and making mistakes until you change. Convicting ourselves of where we really are in a meaningful way so that we become anxious to change. I want to be different. I don't want to say, well, that's good enough, or that wasn't so bad. I want to be better. So the task is along these lines. If you look at the task on your the back of the pew card, says, open yourself to the Lord's leading and guiding. When you find yourself struggling with a difficult situation, you might ask yourself, what is God's will for me in this situation? Amen.